There's no time for questions. Just the one vital question, answered by the wild-eyed Delano, shaking a fist toward the heavens.
Less than 100 leagues ahead, on the southern edge of the Wailing Banks, if ye seek her for some vengeance, go with my blessing. If to aid her, then may ye sink with my curse.
Then the whaler plunged astern of them, vanishing swiftly. Deacon turned to Christy.
We're closing. The Salvation is not the swiftest vessel from the Ville. With a good wind, we can claw a couple of knots from her. More if Piraquad is quartering the Atlantic for the whales. Delano has seen few in a week or more. We could come within sight of her in another couple of days or less.
Be good.
Deacon looked at the armorer, unsmiling.
Yep, mister. It'd be good. Good to see the backs of ye outland chillers and get on with our job.
When we get our friends safe, you won't see us for dust. Or for spray.
Deacon, hands locked in the small of his back, walked away from them to the other side of the deck. Another day on the Salvation, without the sighting of a whale. Toward evening, Captain Quad beckoned Ryan to where she stood on the main deck.
Figured I'd tell thee that I'm set on having thee, Outlander Carter. Soon. Settled a score twixt us. Well, set up man like thee.
Her long tongue peeked out between the filed ivory teeth and licked her chapped lips. On an attractive woman, it would have been a stimulating and coquettish gesture. On Piraquad, it was simply frightening and disgusting. That night, while the rest of the crew slept around them in the forecastle, Ryan told Donphil about the threat from Piraquad. Coiled uncomfortably in his too short bunk, the shaman asked him what he intended to do.
Got no choice. I'll do a lot to stay alive. Traitor used to say a man who died of pride was a fool. A corpse can't get any revenge. But her idea of fucking ends in death. We know that.
You'll chill her first?
Yeah, I guess so. If I can do it right. Then see if we can take out enough of the crew to win the ship. Not much of a hope, I guess.
I got nothing better. Maybe we'll catch some whales tomorrow. Take her mind off other things.
Yeah, maybe.
Following a hunter's instinct, Piraquad set her course back toward land, moving northerly, hoping to pick up one of the mighty pods of whales that broached and sunned themselves off the deserted coves. The sun shone brightly, and the last of the blubber was finally rendered in the ovens and stored in sealed barrels below the main deck. The whaleboats were cleaned, lowered, and raised again. Though the sun shone brilliantly, Ryan noticed that dark clouds were building up far away ahead of them, thunderheads that rolled and bubbled, filled with venomous lightning, streaked with white splashes across the violet sky.
Yeah, over the land, that is. Wind rips it apart and pushes it our way. Could be bad from the height of them chem clouds.
How come the sea's so flat?
It was true. The waves had flattened out and almost disappeared, and even the long ocean swell had almost gone. The ship sailed gently on, as if it were a child's toy, placed upon a painted mirrored sea. The sails flapped idly on the yards, and the helmsman spun the wheel, looking for a breath of a breeze to help them on their way. Captain Quad had a canvas chair brought out and placed on the quarterdeck, where she sat and watched her crew with a baleful eye. It was warm, and she changed out of her heavy sweaters. Now she wore a white blouse with torn dirty lace at collar and cuffs. One sleeve was ripped from elbow to wrist. The material was thin, and it was possible to see that the woman wore nothing beneath it. The dark circles of her nipples pushed at the tight blouse. Her skirt was cotton, pale blue, covered with food and drink stains down the front. It was too tight for her around the waist, and she tried to pin it shut, but it revealed a gap of rolling fat. Her wide belt carried the belaying pin on one side and the 44 on the other. Her legs and feet were bare, the toenails crooked and jagged. She had a bottle of the usquebaugh at her side, as well as a chipped tankard of clouded glass. By late afternoon, she was visibly and audibly drunk.
No fucking whales in the whole fucking sea. She was only a fishmonger's daughter, but she knew how to lie on the fragging slab and say, "Fillet! Fillet! Where's the pigging whales gone? Must be the outlander with his one fucking eye and all bad luck. Like whistling on deck brings lucking bad fuck, it does. Yeah, it does."
Around noon, the lookout from the masthead had called down that he could see the top spars of another ship, shadowing them, so he said. But he couldn't make out enough of the cut of the jib to be certain that it was still the Bartleby, searching for her missing children.
"Course it's them, preaching Biddy Delano. May his balls rot and his cack wither and his ass leak his brains all over his clean frogging decks."
Each change of lookout reported the same sight. Just on the edge of seeing, only the top spars visible, keeping her distance, beating in toward the stormy land at the same speed as the Salvation. Maybe just a knot or two faster.
"Don't keep telling me the same or I'll have thee bunking instead of the Outlander."
So after that, none of the crew mentioned to their captain that the whaling ship on the horizon was steadily creeping in closer. Cyrus Ogg ventured to mention to Second Mate Walsh that in his humble opinion, the other vessel wasn't necessarily the Bartleby under Captain Delano. He certainly wasn't about to hazard his lay on whose ship it was. But the set of the mizzen mist reminded him very much of the Phoenix, Captain Deacon in command. Dusk was beginning to ease itself across the mirrored sea. The wind had just begun to freshen again, bringing the threat of the storm clouds even closer. Now, from the crow's nest, it was possible to make out a gray smudge away to the north, beneath the dancing daggers of the lightning. Johnny Flynn sat behind the tryworks, exercising the joints of his broken finger.
"Sure, right enough."
"How far off?"
"Good many sea miles yet, Cully."
"The camstorm looks closer."
Flynn spat over the side of the ship, nodding his agreement.
"Aye, Outlander, it is that. Me Daz Da spoke of the years after the long winters and the red fires. Said they had storms then as a man would die in. Off the sea it'd rain purest acid and strip the flesh off thy bones faster than a pack of muty sharks. Lightning spears so thick and fast a man couldn't hope to dodge them. But we still get good blows now and again. Best beat away from them."
The wind was freshening, growing stronger with every minute that passed. Already the sea was patterned with lacy cat's paws, and the sails were straining at the yards. Puraquad got up from her comfortable chair and vanished below, reappearing a minute later in her more familiar garb of sea boots, sweater, and longer skirt. But the gun and the belaying pin were still at her belt.
"Be all hands to reef soon enough."
"They blow! 3, 5, a dozen or more! A great pot of right whales!
Where away?"
The captain squinted aloft, as did most of the crew.
"Port bow, ma'am! Large a pot as ever I seen! There!"
An outstretched arm like a hunting dog pointed to the whales.
"Helm over! Mr. Ogg! Mr. Walsh! Boat's crew's at the ready! Hands to the davits! We've struck lucky at last!"
Ryan was one of the men nearest to Piraquad. Cyrus Ogg was standing right by him, and he walked up to